He called them out, took them apart from the others, took them up onto a high mountain. And that's cool because high up on a mountaintop is the place where God often meets people who are the most passionate for Him. That's where He took Moses. Moses went up on the mountain, on Mount Sinai, and spoke to God face to face, as it were. Had great revelations of God. It said while he was on the mountain, the cloud came down. And Moses fellowshiped with God. In fact, he brought Joshua up with him. He told the elders, you guys stay here. If there's a problem, the people can see you. Me and the bud are going up Mount Sinai. We're gonna meet with God. And he took him on top of the mountain. Elijah met with God on the top of a mountain. God took him up to the mountaintop and he showed him fire and an earthquake and all this stuff. But he taught him that he could hear his voice as the still small voice of his heart. And on that mountaintop, Elijah learned and spoke with God. And so Jesus takes them up into this place. In the book of Revelation, by the way, you also hear, you also see the apostle John as he's having this incredible vision. He sees a door open in heaven and he hears a voice say something to him. Who knows what the voice said to him? The first three words. He saw this door open in heaven. A voice called out to him and said, come up here. You know what? I want to hear that voice say, John, come up here. Come up here. I got something to show you. I got something to share with you. I know how hungry you are for me. I know how you thirst after me. I know how you press in and pursue me. How you cry out to me. God, I want to know you. I thirst and hunger for you. Guess what? I got something for you today. Come up here. How many people want to hear God say, hey, buddy, come up here. I got something for you today. Woo! Lord, call me. Call me. I'm willing to pay the price because I want to hear those three words. Come up here. And so Jesus called them apart onto a high mountain. And while they were there, they got to see and experience amazing things from God. First, what did they experience? First, they got to see Jesus in His glory, in His kingly splendor, as MacArthur would say, in His regal majesty. Man, what a privilege is that. The Bible says He was transfigured before Him, before them, and His face shone like the sun. Is that bright? That's bright. It might not be that bright in Alaska 6 months out of the year. Here on the Eastern Shore, that's bright. His face shone like the sun. You can't even look into the sun. It'll burn your eyes. It'll scorch your eyes. His face shone like that. His clothes became shining as the light, brighter white than anything on earth could ever make clothes appear to be. That's bright. It said that it was bright as the snow. You ever had to put on sunglasses when you went out and the snow covered the ground because it was so bright? I remember the first time I went through the woods to get to where I jog, and the snow had covered the ground. I came out of the woods, and there was Tuckahoe Park, and it was just an untouched virgin blanket of snow. And it was so bright, I literally had to close my eyes. I couldn't look out and had to open them slowly to allow them to adjust for the light. That's how bright His very clothes were. And His face shone like the sun. That's power. It's no wonder demons tremble in His presence. It's no wonder when you say, in the name of Jesus, go. Because in the Spirit, that's how they see Him. Power coming forth from His hand, from His face, from His hair, from His clothes. It's no wonder they're afraid of Him. It's no wonder they go when they're commanded to go. Even Moses. Now you can compare and say, well, you know, Moses went up on the mountain and his face was shining when he came down. But check this out. It's like the difference between the sun and the moon. When the moon is shining in the night, does the moon have any light of its own? No. During the day, you can't even see the moon. It's just reflecting the light of the sun. Does the sun have any light of its own? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the difference between Jesus and Moses. When Moses came off the mountain and his face was shining, the Bible says he put a veil in front of his face so the people could not see the glory. Guess what? Jesus couldn't cover it up. He clothed his whole body and the light just came through his clothes so that his clothes looked like they were plugged into the outlet. That's how powerful that glory was on him. They got to see that. So they no longer knew him after the flesh. They knew him in his glory. And it changed them. It changed them forever. I love their... Peter and John wrote about it. John said in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, he said, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And I love this. "And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We beheld it. He was still rocked by what he saw that day when he wrote his gospel. He had to just tell people about it. "Man, the Word became flesh and we beheld his glory." I want to behold his glory, because as I behold his glory, then I start being transformed from glory to glory into the same image as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's what God has for us this year, a place of intimacy where we can behold his glory. Yes, it may be through a glass darkly, but right now as we come and we behold and we worship, we are changed from glory to glory into that same image. That revelation changes us. It changes how we see our God and Savior. I want a full revelation. I want him to rock my world and knock me on the ground, you know? I want to be so touched that my heart is melted, that every time I begin to say Jesus, I just choke up and cry. Like when I first got saved. People would say, "What happened to you?" "Well, I went to this crusade and heard about..." Yeah. You know, it was pathetic. I was a mess. Praise God. They got to see Jesus in his glory. Y'all want to see Jesus in his glory? Oh. Number two, what else did they get to see? How about the Shekinah cloud of glory? How about a cloud? Oh, they got to see the cloud. They got to go in and enter that cloud, that Shekinah cloud of glory. The Bible says that as Peter was speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And it's known as the Shekinah glory of God. We see this cloud a number of different times in Scripture. He's coming with clouds. He ascended in the book of Acts into a cloud. But even in the Old Testament, we see, for instance, Exodus 24:15 on Mount Sinai. It says, "Then Moses went up into the mountain in what? A what? A cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai." It was the cloud and in the glory. "And the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the what? Wow. A voice came out of the cloud calling to Moses, son of a gun." Verse 17, "The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain." Man, can you imagine what kind of day that brother was having? Woo! "Then the tabernacle," Exodus 40:34. "Then the what? Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not even able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Couldn't even go in because the cloud of glory was so present and powerful. Man! All right, then the temple, Solomon's temple, 1 Kings 8, 10 to 11. And it came to pass when the priests came out of the holy place that the what? The cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Couldn't even minister, couldn't even go in. Because of the presence of the Shekinah cloud of glory and that energy, that power, that manifested presence of God was so strong they couldn't even stand it. Yeah! Say it again, brother. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, I want to see the cloud fill this place. I want to see the music ministry have to lay down their instrument because they can't even focus anymore because they're so overcome by the manifest presence of the glory of the Lord. I want to see the people lose the ability to even to say the words because they are so caught up in the majesty and beauty and holiness of God because His cloud has come into the place. Oh, man. Is that possible? Yes, it is possible. Praise God. How many people have heard of the Azusa Street Revival of 1906? Okay. One of the most powerful revivals in history. Now, we talk about the Great Awakening. It was a wonderful thing. We talk about the Second Great Awakening in the 1800s. Great thing as the gospel went forward across the Western frontier. But out of the Azusa Street Revival, although it was short, it only lasted 3 years in power. Out of that was birthed the Pentecostal movement, and today the Pentecostal church is the most powerful, fastest moving church in the world. They are evangelizing South America and Africa and China more than any other church in the entire world. Whereas Europe is drying up with atheism and America is drying up with secularism, and we're trying to decide, we don't even know who we are in America anymore as a country. Down in South America, among the poor, among the oppressed, and over in Africa and over in China and Korea, the Pentecostal church is literally changing the landscape of history down there. And multitudes upon multitudes upon multitudes are coming to Christ and getting saved. That was birth at Azusa Street. And yes, it had its problems. It wasn't perfect. It had wrinkles and warts. But as John Wesley said, Lord, send revival without defects, but if you can't do that, then send it defects and all.